His head swims in the heat, feels too light somehow. He eyes McKay with a gaze that takes too long to focus, and wonders dimly if it feels the same to the other man. McKay stopped complaining about the heat and the sweat and the steam a while ago. He sits still on the wooden bench, legs bent, elbows resting on his knees, head hanging. His hair is damp with moisture, sweat and condensated water, shepherd knows, because the same mixture is tickling his scalp. McKay's breathing is shallow. He's probably trying not to inhale too much of the searing hot air, and Shepard can relate to that too. The steam makes it better and worse at the same time, soothing and burning. In the beginning, when they had been put in here for cleansing, before they could return through the sacred portal, it had only been the water that had run from their bare arms and legs, causing McKay to scrub at it viciously and complain enough to test even Shepard's patience. They were contaminated with ghosts. Ghosts that would, according to the natives, possess the sacred portal, meaning, of course, the Stargate, if they passed through it without being cleansed. The original feeling of dread at the word possession hadn't quite left Shepard yet, even though now he knows that the ghosts were the last gasp security measures of a bombed-out ancient installation, with just enough power to create a small shield and give an electric jolt to anyone without the ATA gene. No wonder the natives were frightened. Said natives had insisted on them not going to the ruins, so when they had found out that, all hail McKay's curiosity, the Atlantis team had done so after all, they had refused to let them go, had stubbornly claimed that all of them, Ronan, Taylor, McKay and himself, were now contaminated with the curse of the ancestors, and that they'd have to cleanse themselves before they could return through the sacred portal again. All in all, it wasn't the worst that could have happened. If breaking taboos gets them a free spa day, you should advise Elizabeth to do it as well. That's a thought he had 2 hours ago, though. By now, Shepard's sweating profusely, and he feels the heat weakening him, stripping his defences and slowing his reflexes. He's no longer sure if it's just the heat or if there's something more in the water in that steam. He can't smell anything, but that doesn't mean that there's nothing there. Plenty of substances are undetectable to human senses. Drops of perspiration and water run along his arms and down his chest, the light tickle against his slick skin distracting him more and more. He knows it should disturb him that McKay isn't talking, so he makes a last-ditch attempt to clear his head. McKay? McKay moves as though waking from a trance. He raises his head, lazy and slow like it's too heavy, but not enough to actually move it in Shepard's direction. Only his eyes hint at attentiveness. The off-white towel-like cloth that's slung low around his hips whispers quietly when his arms brush against it. McKay's eyes settle on him, shadowed by eyelashes lowered from either fatigue or inertia. There's a line of droplets caught in his brow. Hmm? The sound doesn't morph into a word. Can't. Because McKay's mouth is obscured behind his upper arm, closed lips pressed against it lightly. He's looking vulnerable and languid at the same time, causing Shepard's stomach to do a not entirely unpleasant slow-motion roll. Still with me? It's an even worse roll than usual, he notices dimly. Instead of an answer, McKay just blinks, unhurried, and absolutely uncharacteristically indolent, and gives another unarticulated humming sound. The moisture in the room is almost dense enough to carry the reverberation of it for Shepard to feel against his own skin. Yeah, me too. Shepard closes his eyes again, listening to their breathing and the occasional soft drip as a drop of sweat or water hits the smooth stone floor. The quiet is eerie. Not a sound from the outside reaches them in here. The wooden bench creaks, and he cracks one eye open, checking out of routine as much as out of curiosity. McKay has changed his position next to him. Head and arms, hanging as though they are too heavy to hold up, he's stretching his back. The movement makes a few vertebrae pop with subdued cracking noises, and Shepard would have whined in sympathy if he had the energy. McKay groans and slowly rolls his head to the other side, repeating the crack-pop-groan routine. The muscles in his back move, allowing Shepard to map that broad back, the gentle plane of shoulder blades blending into round shoulders, and the valley of that audibly so very fucked-up spine. He can't help noticing how well-rounded everything about McKay appears. Not bony and sharp like himself. McKay exhales, long and deep, and lifts his head a bit, eyes still closed, allowing Shepard to watch the unhurried journey of a droplet of water or sweat from the tips of McKay's hair down the man's back. Vertebra for vertebra, lazy and slow, clinging to skin that's glistening with moisture, glittering pale golden when the low light catches it, stopping now and then, only to continue when McKay breathes in or out. Shepard's mouth goes dry, and he has the sudden, insane urge to follow the journey of that drop with his hand, his fingers twitching when the drop reaches the small of McKay's back. McKay's skin, as much as he's seen of it on missions, is usually pale, but the lighting of this room, it's almost glowing, a tint of pink from the heat and gold from the lights. Soft. It looks so damn soft and slick and warm, and Shepard really doesn't need that train of thought. His hand twitches again as he watches the drop of perspiration roll farther down McKay's spine, lower and lower, toward his tailbone and under the towel. It takes all of his willpower to not reach out. A drop of sweat rolls down his own nose and slips onto his lips, the sensation making him shiver, a welcome distraction. Shepard touches his tongue to the moisture, tastes salt. His head feels even lighter than before, and it takes a while to notice that McKay's eyes are open and that the other man is watching him over his shoulder. Watching openly. Watching his mouth. Shepard breathes hard, feels his body tighten under that gaze. He doesn't move, however. If he stays still, maybe McKay won't notice anything off. Maybe he'll just move, hang his head again, and close those damn inquisitive eyes, and Shepard will be able to rebuild the walls that are melting around him like ice cubes in the sunlight. In the end, McKay does move, but not in the way Shepard had expected at all. McKay turns on the narrow bench, making it creak again. He inches forward, and the suck-squelch release as his legs slide over the wood seems absurdly loud. His tongue touches his lower lip in an echo of Shepard's own gesture, and Shepard is transfixed for a second. The water has plastered McKay's hair against his skull and makes it darker than it normally is. Small beads of perspiration run along his temple and over his cheek, down along his jawline and throat, lower until they reach his chest and disappear in a scattering of dark hair, plastered against McKay's moisture-glistening skin. Shepard is aware that he's staring, but damn him if he can stop. He has never been fussy about gender, but he has never fully realized just how attractive another man can be. Looking at the way the moisture clings to McKay's biceps, sliding over the swell of muscle down his forearms, and soaks the towel which by now rests precariously low on the other man's hips, makes him wonder if this is what an epiphany feels like. McKay's lashes are spiky from the steam and can't quite shadow the way the man's pupils are dilated so much there barely is anything left of the blue iris to see. Shepard feels stripped bare under McKay's gaze. naked and horribly vulnerable. The other man's eyes are flickering. They alone hold the usual frenetic McKay energy, and Shepard can't look away, can't run, has no place to hide. If possible at all, he feels even warmer under that intense gaze, half fierce greying out from the combined heat. Beads of sweat roll down his back, chest, and face, tickling skin that is highly sensitized all at once. Shepard can't help thinking how this amount of perspiration would be disgusting in every other situation, but amidst the steam, it's clean and warm and enticing. His heart slams hard against his chest when McKay lifts his hand, eyes still trained in Shepard's mouth. Seconds trickle by in which nothing happens. The wood creaks. It's the only thing disturbing the sound of McKay's open mouth breathing and his own blood rushing in his ears. Shepard suddenly shivers despite the heat as McKay slides closer and closer into touching distance. He's leaning nearer and nearer until Shepard can feel McKay's breath against his wet skin. Shepard clenches his hands around the bench to stop his shaking, because part of him is screaming to bolt, to flinch away, to leave, because this is too intimate and too close, and he shouldn't want this, but oh God, he does. McKay's breath against his face is cooler than the air, yet making his skin burn. His own breath speeds up. His heart is thudding. His throat is dry. His skin prickles with awareness. McKay edges closer, close enough for Shepard to see the fine lines around his eyes. Laugh lines, frown lines, and squint lines McKay didn't have the day he stepped through his stargate to Atlantis, because before that he spent all his time in labs, not in the field, under the sun, peering at scanners and getting sunburnt and complaining. McKay's hand is in his line of vision. Fingers, two of them, oddly colored, are slowly circling around Shepard's lips, spreading salty drops of moisture. Shepard meets McKay's eyes and swallows convulsively, clawing at the last scrap of sanity that is still yelling at him to move, leave, run. The habitual urge to panic is subdued by the loud thudding of his heart, however. So without thinking about the consequences, his tongue touches his lips again, touches McKay's index finger. A brief tremor runs through the other man. Then McKay's index finger moves past its set course, mapping the skin of Shepard's lips. Shepard's breath hitches, and he fights to keep his eyes from closing at the languid, drowsy pleasure that floods his body as a result of the small touch. Instead, he meets McKay's eyes and touches his tongue to the salt-tipped finger deliberately. God, it's too hot to move, or he'd be touching McKay by now, running his hands and mouth over all that warm, moist skin, learning shape and sound and taste. He'd be tearing that towel away and would... His blood rushes even louder in his ears, his heart thumping painfully, making him aware of the effects his fantasy is having on his body. It's too hot. If they don't want to faint from a heat stroke, they'd better... McKay's hand trails towards his jaw. Screw caution. Shepard moves finally, slices his hands up McKay's arms in a languid glide up his neck and pulls McKay forward, closing the gap between them. He breathes in sharply when McKay's moist lips touch his and fire pools in his stomach. Small licks and delicate bites first, getting acquainted to the feel of slick lips and urgent tongue, and the taste of salt and McKay, who makes the most amazing, small and broken sounds under his breath. It's not enough, never enough, and he locks his hands tighter around McKay's neck, moves them into his damp hair. Shepard deepens the kiss, and the room around him disappears in a flood of sensations. McKay's big hands languorously running over his moist back, making him shudder, and McKay sucking on his tongue, stripping away silent, long-established protests and doubts, breaking Shepard with cruel, erotic precision. He doesn't want to stop. If this is what it means to break, then he wants to break over and over again, no matter if he feels the heat rising mercilessly, until stars dance in front of his eyes and the world begins to swim out of focus. It's McKay who breaks the kiss with a whimper, breathing fast and swaying. Dizziness hits Shepherd so hard he tilts, nearly toppling off the bench. His limbs feel heavy and his head too light. The air is too hot to breathe. His eyes refuse to focus. Blackness swims at the edge of his vision. He can barely hear McKay's equally labored breathing over the rush of blood in his ears. Too hot. He knew this would come. Finally, his arms fall away from McKay's neck and he slips off the bench onto the warm stone floor, a dead weight. The last thing he notices before he loses consciousness is McKay slipping next to him, their limbs tangling. Freezing cold jolts Shepherd's back into consciousness. And God, if the heat hasn't killed him, this will for sure. His eyes refuse to focus on anything beyond the pool of freezing water he's currently in, and he can feel every inch of his skin stinging from the shock of cold. His balls are about ready to crawl inside his body. He attempts to get out of the icy water, but realizes that he can't. Next to him, McKay makes undignified, not quite articulate noises of pain and outrage amidst the splashing and flailing. The elderly women who had led them into the steam house are holding them down in the cold water with surprising strength. For a moment, Shepherd thinks about killing McKay. It's his fault they have to go through this, after all. McKay gets lucky, though, because the women let go of their shoulders and reach for their hands to pull them both out of the water. Shepherd shivers uncontrollably and feels weak as a baby. He sways on the spot, as light-headed as he's felt in the steam house. For just a moment, he closes his eyes and tries to recall the events. When he opens them again, McKay is watching him. Shepherd swallows and looks away. Neither Ronan nor Taylor had looked surprised at the whole procedure when they had met Shepherd and McKay outside the village's main building after the cleansing ceremony. On their way back to the Stargate, Taylor tells the story of the shared beliefs and custom of many worlds, and once more, Shepherd feels like McKay and he are the only real aliens here. His hand brushes McKay's when they walk back to the Stargate. Just for a blink of an eye, enough to notice that it still bears the heat from the steam house. You may have experienced visions. He still hears the Elder's voice, whispering in his head. Shepherd's mind flashes to a drop of perspiration, languidly rolling down a broad back. He pushes the memory aside and locks it away tightly. Thank you.